Life's Healing Choices, written by John Baker. Choice 8 in the Recovery Acrostic, R-E-C-O-V-E-R-Y. Why? Yield myself to God. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. Choice 8, Recycling Pain, the Sharing Choice. Your greatest contribution to this world, your greatest ministry, will not be found in your strength, but in your weakness. The very thing you want least to talk about, the very thing you want to hide in the closet, is the very thing God wants you to share. One of the great things about God is that He never wastes a hurt. And He doesn't want to waste yours, either. In this, the last chapter, and the last choice, we'll see that the Y in recovery stands for yield. It also stands for you. God wants you to yield to Him and allow Him to recycle the pain in your life for the benefit of others. Most of us are under the misconception that God uses only the really gifted, extraordinarily talented people. That's not true. God uses ordinary people. In fact, He does His best work through weak people. My gracious favor is all you need. My power works best in your weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may work through me. People are not helped by our strengths. They're helped when we're honest about our weaknesses. When we share our strength, they say, "Big deal. I'll never have what he has." Or, "My faith is not as strong as hers." But when we share from our weaknesses, they say, "I can relate to that." I have the honor of giving my testimony several times a year. Every time I give it, people say, "Thank you for sharing your struggles and weaknesses with me." It is exciting to see the things God has done in your recovery. They do not thank me for my strengths. They thank me for being open and honest with my weaknesses. God gets the glory. They see that if God can restore a sinner like me, He can and will help them find freedom from their hurts, hang-ups, and habits. When you understand that God uses your weaknesses and your pain, life takes on a whole new meaning and you experience genuine recovery. The proof that you are truly recovering is when you begin to focus outside yourself. When you stop being absorbed with your needs, your hurts, your problems. Recovery is evident when you begin to say, "How can I help others?" In this final chapter, we'll answer two important questions. Why does God allow our pain? And how can we use our pain to help others? Why does God allow pain? Why does God allow pain and suffering? It's a universal question. There are several reasons, but here we'll share the big four. Number one, God has given us a free will. God created us with the right to choose. In the book of Beginnings, also known as Genesis, we read, "God created man in his own image." One of the ways God's image is shown in you is in your freedom to choose. Simply considering the creation of the universe, we see that God made millions of choices. You, too, have the right to choose. You can choose good or bad, right or wrong, life or death. God says to us, you can reject me or accept me. It's your choice. God could have created you without a free will, so that you always did right and never did wrong. But God didn't want a bunch of puppets. He wants you and me to love him voluntarily. You can't really love someone unless you have the opportunity not to love. You can't really choose good unless you have the option to choose bad. Our free will is not only a blessing, it's also a burden. As you have read in the courageous stories in this book, poor choices cause painful consequences. We make choices that bring pain to ourselves and others. If we choose to experiment with drugs and get addicted, then it's our own fault. If we choose to be sexually promiscuous and get a sexually transmitted disease, we bear the consequences of our own bad choice. Do you see the dilemma? God will not overrule your will. God doesn't send anybody to hell. We choose to go there by rejecting his will for us. God loves you and wants you to be a part of his family. But if you thumb your nose at God and walk away from him, you can't blame anyone but yourself. That's free will. There's one more thing to consider about the free will God has given us. Not only does God give you free will, he gives it to everyone else too. So this means that sometimes others choose to do wrong, and you may get hurt as an innocent victim. Many of you have been deeply hurt by a parent, spouse, teacher, friend, relative, or someone you didn't even know. God could have prevented that hurt by taking away that person's free will. But if he had done that, in order to be fair, he would have had to take away your free will too. Pain is part of the free will package. Life's Healing Choices by John Baker. Asking the question, why does God allow pain? Reason 2, God uses pain to get our attention. Pain is not your problem. Your depression, your anxiety, and your fear are not even your problems. These are simply warning lights, telling you that something is wrong and you need to deal with it. Pain is God's wake-up call. Sometimes it takes a painful experience to make us change our ways. Sometimes pain is severe, like the pain of a burn on our skin or the internal stab of a heart attack. Without these painful sensations, we might just go about our business, unaware of life-threatening dangers. But the blessing of pain is that it gets our attention and lets us know something is seriously wrong. Paul said this about the benefit of pain. I am glad, not because it hurt you, but because the pain turned you to God. Your problem may be low self-esteem, loss, abandonment, or abuse. Your pain is telling you that these issues need your attention. Nobody likes pain, but God uses pain to get your attention. Do you remember the story of Jonah being swallowed by a great fish? Jonah was going one way, and God said, I want you to go the other way. And at the bottom of the ocean, Jonah finally said, when I had lost all hope, I turned my thoughts once more to the Lord. Isn't that a great verse? God uses pain to get our attention. God uses pain to teach us to depend on him. The Apostle Paul was well acquainted with pain. And out of his experience, he tells us, "We were really crushed and overwhelmed, and saw how powerless we were to help ourselves. But that was good, for then we put everything into the hands of God, who alone could save us." You will never know that God is all you need until God is all you've got. When it's all falling apart, and you've lost it all, that's when you can see clearly the only one who is remaining beside you. Without problems, you'd never learn that God is the only real problem solver. God allows pain to teach you to depend on Him. "The suffering you sent was good for me, for it taught me to pay attention to your principles." The truth is, some things we only learn through pain. You've seen this demonstrated over and over in the stories of the courageous men and women at the end of each chapter. And you've seen how each of them learned to depend on God through pain. One of life's greatest teachers. Addressing the issue of pain, John Baker, in his book, Life's Healing Choices, Choice 8, reads, "God allows pain to give us a ministry to others." Pain actually makes you humble, sympathetic, and sensitive to others' needs. It prepares you to serve. When we turn to God for healing from the source of our pain, He comforts us and gives us the help we need. Why does He, God, do this? So that when others are troubled, needing sympathy and encouragement, we can pass on to them this same help and comfort God has given us. Being used by God for the benefit of others is what Choice 8 is all about. Choice 8, Recycling Pain. Yield myself to God to be used to bring this good news to others, both by my example and by my words. Everyone needs recovery of some type. Mental, physical, spiritual, social, or relational. We all have hurts, hang-ups, and habits. Nobody's perfect. And when we're hurting, we want someone who understands. Someone who's been through what we've been through. Not someone whose life is all together. Who better to help an alcoholic than someone who has struggled with alcoholism? Who better to help someone dealing with the pain of abuse than one who has also suffered abuse? Who can better help the person who lost a job and went bankrupt than somebody who's experienced the same thing? Who can better help the parents of a teenager who's going off the deep end than a couple who had a child do the same? God wants to use and recycle the pain in your life to help others, but you've got to be open and honest about it. If you keep that hurt to yourself, you're wasting it. God wants to recycle your hurts, your hang-ups, and your habits to help others. There's a beautiful story in the book of Genesis about Joseph. Family and others did terrible things to Joseph, and he was a good guy. He didn't deserve the pain in his life. One day, his brothers decided to gang up against him and sell him into slavery. Then they went back home and lied to their dad and said that Joseph had been eaten by a lion. Now that's a dysfunctional family. Joseph was sold into slavery and taken from Israel to Egypt. He faithfully did his job as a slave, minding his own business, when all of a sudden, his master's wife tried to seduce him. Joseph refused her advances, and she cried, "Rape!" Of course, the husband sided with his wife, and Joseph was thrown into prison. This guy's whole life went downhill fast. He was at his bottom. But God had a plan and a purpose for Joseph. Through a series of events, Joseph was promoted to second in command of Egypt. God used Joseph to save not only Egypt, but other nations as well from destruction and famine. Later, during the famine, his brothers came to get food. Only they didn't know they were standing before the very brother they had betrayed. When Joseph revealed himself, they expected to have their heads cut off. But Joseph surprised them. "You meant to hurt me, but God turned your evil into good." God is bigger than anyone who hurts you. No matter what other people have done to you, God can recycle it and use it for good. God never wastes a hurt, but you can waste it if you don't learn from it and share it. Others will be blessed and encouraged if you share the problems and struggles you've gone through. God can and will use your pain to help others if you let Him. Life's Healing Choices, Choice 8 by John Baker. How can we use our pain to help others? The simple answer to the question, "How can I use my pain to help others?" is to share your story. That's it. It's that simple and that difficult. You share your experiences, your journey, your weaknesses, and how God has gotten you are where you are today. As you share, you'll discover a blessing for yourself in addition to the one you pass on to others. When you share your story, it not only gives hope to others, it brings healing to you. Every time you share your story, you grow a little bit stronger. You experience another measure of healing. At the end of this chapter, you'll read the final two stories of the book. The stories of Tina and Bob, who have allowed God to recycle their pain and use it for the benefit of others. God wants to recycle your pain too, so He can use it to help others. The following scripture encourages you to share your story and even offers you some instruction as to how. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have, but do this with gentleness and respect. You need to be prepared to give an answer to the questions, "How did you make it? How did you keep from relapsing? How did you recover?" Accept your mission. God has a mission for you. It's called the Great Commission, and it's found in the Bible. "Go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit." The moment you step across the line and become a believer, you become a missionary. You become a part of God's great plan of reaching out to hurting, lost people. Do you realize there are only two things you can't do in heaven? One is sin. The other is share the good news with people who have never heard it. Which of those do you think is the reason God is leaving you on earth? Obvious, isn't it? Sometimes in your mission of storytelling, God wants you to take the initiative. This is called intervention. If someone is caught in a sin, you who are spiritual should restore him gently. But watch yourself, or you also may be tempted. Carry each other's burdens, and in this way you will fulfill the law of Christ. If you are a believer, it is your responsibility to share in the problems and troubles of other people. This is where our beatitude for this chapter comes in. Happy are those who are persecuted because they do what God requires. Reaching out to others with the good news of how God has changed our lives is not always easy or welcome, but we are blessed when we carry out the mission God has given us. Life is worth nothing unless I use it for doing the work assigned me by the Lord Jesus. What is that assignment? It is telling others the good news of God's mighty love and kindness. There is no greater accomplishment in life than helping somebody find the assurance of heaven. The world has far more people who are ready to receive the good news than those willing and ready to share it. There are people who need to hear your story. You don't have to be a biblical genius. You can simply tell what happened. That's the most powerful kind of story. You can say, I don't know where all the verses are, but this is what happened to me. Nobody can refute that. It's your personal experience. God wants to use you. Share your story. Life's Healing Choices, Choice 8, written by John Baker. Tell your story. In the Write About It action step, we'll get your story down on paper, following our guidelines to consider as you prepare. Number one, be humble. We're all in the same boat. We're all fellow strugglers. When you share your story, when you witness, it's basically one beggar telling another beggar where to find bread. You're not saying, I've got it all together, because you don't. You're getting it together. You're on the road to healing, but you're not there yet. Getting there is a lifelong journey. Second part about telling your story is being real. Be honest about your hurts and faults. The men and women who have shared their stories in this book have modeled how to do this. They opened themselves up. They were transparent, vulnerable, and real. Can you imagine the courage it took for those people to have their struggles printed in black and white for the world to see? Draw from their courage and open up your heart as well. You too can help other people by being honest about your hurts. When you are honest about your hurts, the honesty spreads and helps those who hear your story open up too. 3. Don't lecture. Don't try to argue or force people into heaven. Just share your story. God wants you to be a witness, not a defense attorney. You may be the only Bible some people will ever read. Some people wouldn't get caught within 100 yards of a church, so they would probably never hear a sermon. But you have a story that can reach them, a story they can identify with. You can reach people a pastor never could. Just share what God has done for you, and they will want what you have. Consider your beneficiaries. Who could best benefit from hearing your story? The answer is people who are currently experiencing what you have already gone through. People who need to know Christ and the freedom found in Him, and who need to know the 8 choices found in this book. They might be your peers, neighbors, or your family. Tell God you're available. Then get ready. If you are prepared to share the good news of how God has worked in your life, God will hear you out. Can you imagine getting to heaven and someone saying to you, I'm in heaven because of you, and I just want to thank you? Do you think that just sharing your story will have been worth it? It will far outlast anything you do in your career, anything you do in your hobby. We're talking eternal implications, getting people from darkness into light, from hell into heaven, from an eternity without God to an eternity with God. People will be thanking you the rest of eternity. There is nothing more significant in life. Life's Healing Choices by John Baker. Choice 8. Yield yourself to God. Make the choice. Action 1. Pray about it. Ask God to lead you to somebody to share your story with. The good news of how God made a difference in your life and how He can make a difference in theirs. You can begin each day with a prayer something like this. Dear God, help me be ready to share with someone today the victories you have given me. Help me find the right words and the right time to share my heart with someone who is hurting and who doesn't know where to go or how to stop the pain. I pray that I can share the ways you freed me from my hurts, hang-ups, and habits. Let me do so with gentleness and respect. Thank you for letting me serve. Amen. Action number 2, write about it. If you prayed the prayer in the first action step, you need to prepare in advance to share your story. How do you get prepared to share your story? Review the 3 guidelines we presented earlier in the chapter under the heading, Tell Your Story. The following are some suggestions to get you started. Make a brief list of all the experiences that have significantly impacted your life to this day, positive and negative. Write down the ones you caused and the ones you didn't. Looking back at your moral inventory will help you remember these experiences. Next, write out what you learned from each experience. Write about how God helped you make it through the tough times. Make a list of the people who need to hear your story. Write your story out on paper. Why is it so important to write out your story? Remember, thoughts disentangle themselves when they pass through the lips to the fingertips. So write it out. Action 3, share about it. After you've written your story, your testimony, share it with your accountability partner. He or she can serve as a good sounding board. Your accountability partner has been with you from the start of your healing journey and knows you and your story. Your partner can help you review your story to ensure that you haven't left out any important events that would be helpful to others. They can also help you share your story in a way that is humble, real, and not lecturing.